You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Good evening, good evening. This is Asad Shabazz.
And I'm Lynette David, and you are listening to Young People in Action, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
Yeah.
What's happening, people
out there
in internet radio land?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, people?
Man, oh man.
Wednesday evening. Listen.
Day?
Write this number down, because I really need y'all to call me tonight and call Brother Asad tonight. 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. So, man, we've been having some good stuff on, haven't we?
Yes,
we've been talking some good stuff. We always have good stuff. I think we, like, probably one of the best out there, for real. So,
if you may say so.
Right. So tonight, we are going to be talking about all this awful murder in the land in our community.
Wow.
And when I say our community, I mean people that look like me, that have similar or the same color skin as I have. And there's a lot of crime and a lot of things going on in a lot of places, but I want to specifically talk about our communities tonight and some of the stuff that's going on across the country. Maybe we're going to talk a little bit about Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, Columbus, Ohio. It's getting real out here in these streets.
Yes, it is.
It's getting real out here in these streets.
Very, very real. You know, it's it was a turning point for me at one point in my life in the 90s when I actually hit the number 200 direct homicides in my life.
Wow.
From my work in Detroit to my work in Chicago, D.C. area, Columbus, Lansing, I lost, before the 90s ended, I had lost, from the time we started Young People in Action, 200 young black men to homicide.
That's awful. That's too much.
I stopped counting. It began to be very saddening to me because, you know, I will give a plug tonight, though, on something that we're working on that you don't know yet. It's the men. We're coming together to do something. So later on, I'll kind of share that. But this homicide, one is too many.
Right.
But when you begin to see, let me tell a story real quick. Something that always comes to my mind. A few years back, I was hired contractually to do some work with these young brothers coming out of the juvenile justice system. One particular kid, when I heard his name, I said, I wonder if that is so-and-so's son. Because he had the same name as his father. And I found out later that it was, in fact, his son. Well, the father had been involved in a lot of crime coming up. And so I was looking for his son. And I couldn't find him. And when I finally caught up to where he was, I said, I'm going to come out in a couple of days and I'm just going to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was basically AWOL at this point. Well, I have another friend that I grew up with, very close to me. And he had a son with his namesake. So these are two juniors, basically, okay? His son was on his way to college.
Wow.
Now, mind you, me and both of these brothers, we all grew up together, knowing each other.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find the one brother's son, but couldn't find him. At the time I was searching for him, I missed him by about 20 minutes. And that day, he went out, shot in a crowd of people, and killed my other friend's son.
That's terrible.
But look at the cycle here. Look at how this boy murdered my friends. I was friends with both of his fathers. All of us were friends. But one boy guns down the other brother's son, and both of them had the father's namesake. Mm. The one brother went to jail for murder, and he's now in jail with his father.
Ugh, that's terrible.
It hurt me. Not that I couldn't do anything about it, but if I would have caught this boy 20 minute time span, if I was there to catch him in 20 minutes, then he would have been incarcerated for being AWOL, but not for murdering this young brother.
Aww.
Well, let me tell you why I'm bringing that out. Because if I would have gotten there early, something could have been done. Yeah, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But, right, maybe. Or but what it also it tells us is it could have been, right? Because I shoot back. So, no, okay, I'm sorry. Right. But I do approve that message. But, I love him, but, you know.
Right.
Something would have went down maybe a little different. Praise God. But I guess what I'm saying is that we have got to be present. See? We have got to be present. This was a 20-minute window. Now, how many 20-minute windows could we have out here if we got up off our butts and did something in our community?
Right.
How many 5-minute windows?
That's right.
3-minute, 2-minute, 1-minute, no minutes. Right. I'm there. Put the gun down, brother. Let's talk about what you're about to do.
Right.
How many times could we do that? So, you know, when I look at this homicide rate, when I look at the fact that these young brothers, I mean sisters too, but see, brothers, we're warriors. And we were having this discussion the other day, and Brother Donnell Muhammad said in the meeting, on the radio actually, he said they have an appetite. And I said, that was a perfect word, because they do. They have an appetite for violence.
Right.
And I said, you know how we can quench the thirst a little bit?
I was going to say, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
There's some rhyme and reason to that.
Oh, no, absolutely. Now, yeah, let's do that. So,
the appetite. That's good. This is good stuff, y'all.
I'm real.
Let me tell you my take on appetite. And feel free to jump right in at 1-877-932-9766. This is Young People in Action with Brother Shabazz and I, Lynette David. We're talking about these murders in our communities, and it's really outrageous among our young people and not so young people.
Yeah.
But the appetite. We're talking about the appetite for murder. Now, first of all, an appetite is developed once your body is either informed of or naturally is designed to crave or want something. Now, your mind is a little bit different. Because your mind may want stuff, but your mind usually is wired based on your experience. And so if I keep experiencing things through any of my gates, and the gates people I call like things that are entryways into your heart, your soul, and your mind, your eyes, your ears, and what you touch. And, of course, what you say out of your mouth, because then you hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm constantly feeding that craving or that desire for something with something else. That's how it gets in. Okay? Elementary. Break it down.
Right.
If I am constantly, constantly, constantly feeding myself through social experience, through what I listen to and what I watch, things about, I'm going to blow your head off, I got my AK-47, or shoot that nigga, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and, you know, beat the bee down, or whatever. Right. If I constantly feed myself that, I'm constantly watching, hearing, and I'm singing it, so I'm speaking it, I'm constantly, constantly, I hang around people of that mindset, so that is becomes my atmosphere. Whatever you constantly think about,
yes,
is what you will eventually become. What you become is how you behave. How you behave becomes your habits, becomes your lifestyle. So I'm not blaming it on the music. I ain't blaming it on the rain. I ain't blaming it on the devil. I'm just telling you, if we are constantly feeding the negative side of us,
that's right.
The negative side of us will grow.
Yes.
So I do put some of the responsibility on some outside forces.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is Lynette David, and I approve that message.
Yes, ma'am. You know, we talked about this before about how we have a craving.
That's right.
And cravings last about 7 seconds.
That's right.
So whenever there's a craving, like a commercial, whenever there's a commercial on, and you wouldn't even think about that Big Mac.
Right.
So what ends up happening is that You get this, you're sitting there, now there's a craving, and all of a sudden, that craving lasts for 7 seconds. And then you tell yourself, hey, you kind of remind yourself, hey, I want a Big Mac.
You weren't even thinking about a Big Mac. Right.
Hey, I want a Big Mac. And then, you know, you ain't got no ride, so you forget about it. Mm-hmm. So then you thinking about it a little more. You keep feeding that craving until you go get that Big Mac or something close to it. Wendy's, McDonald's, something. You got to get out the house and go get it. When people have a lifestyle where they crave negative energy and negative ideas and negative thoughts, it is because they're either feeding it to themselves or it's being fed to them from an outside force or source. And that craving now becomes what you're about. If you
right.
know, so you're all of a sudden now craving some kind of, food, sex. Imagine you're a 15-year-old boy and every car they sell on TV, they gotta use a butt-naked woman.
A sexy butt with her hair just constantly blowing in the wind.
Exactly.
She's airbrushed, and then you looking at the people around you, and they don't look like her, so you think that is the
yes.
top of the, you know, everything. That's the top notch. That's the top.
But she's a woman.
Right.
She's a woman,
that's
right?
That's airbrushed.
Right.
She don't come with that car, bruh.
She don't. She don't come with the car.
She don't come with the car.
And when he goes out, he can't find her, so anything will do.
Right.
So he's because he's constantly craving sex because that's what's being projected to him. Now,
right.
add in all the other things. Loud music with negative thoughts and energies being thrown at you. But then now you're smoking cigarettes or smoking weed or drinking. Or now you're with a group of young men. Now you're, you know, and all y'all are getting fed the same trash.
Right.
All day long. Now you get together and y'all start talking trash. Man, I tell you that nigga, man, I'm telling you right now, I'm busting cap at that nigga. I don't care what you say. You know, and then the other day, man, for real, I'm with
clap
you.
Clap that nigga.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, so this is going on constantly and they sound like a bunch of Mitches for real. So in order to make it real, what do?
They
actually pull the trigger.
On it. That's right.
So they pull that trigger. And I'm going to tell you, because of my years of youth and law enforcement, I have seen young brothers in handcuffs after murdering somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them. And I know Cat said, man, he hard. No, this dude has lost his mind.
Right.
At that moment.
Right.
And he looking there like, he like, oh my God. Like, but he's trying to show face, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That nigga, guess what I'm talking about?
Right.
That nigga, blah, 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 blah. And when he get to that jail and you go visit him,
Exactly. Listen, there is an article on Facebook that someone posted that has a young man who fainted in the courtroom as he was being sentenced, and they weren't done. So the bailiff and the judge and all said, pick him up. We're not done.
We're not done.
But he was tough. He was tough and hard, but when it's time to receive that sentence,
that's right.
This boy literally fainted.
Yes.
And I'm not making light of the young man's freedom or situation, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's getting real out here, and we really need to help those around us, particularly our young people, reevaluate what they're doing, the choices that they're making, and treat it as if it's going to affect us, because it will affect us. It's going to affect our pockets. It's going to affect our families, our communities, our children, or our young people that we are connected to. It's very important that we teach them about appetite and what they're feeding themselves. We're not trying to be super religious or super, super spiritual or anything like that. It's just the way we're made. It's the way we are designed. God designed us this way. Call us at 1-877-932-9766 and tell me what you think. How do we help? How do we stop all this violence in our community? How do we help curb the appetite so that our young people and those around us don't crave so much junk? Everything is violent. The commercials are violent. The insurance commercial is violent.
Yeah.
They always got the dude getting busted up. What is that? Come on, y'all. Now they go extreme with that. He's always getting busted up.
Mayhem.
Mayhem busted, bro. And it's humorous.
Yeah.
And then also, everything is sex. The chewing gum is sex. The cologne is sex.
God.
Everything is sex. It's either sex, violence, or making money. Or young nigga move that dough.
Right. That's real.
I mean, and if you think about it, a lot of those artists don't even live in that world for real.
Let me tell you something.
That's not their actual life.
Let me tell you something for real. Like, they have to get close enough to see this. Back in the day, they talked about today that they don't care about it. But back in the day, they were talking about, like, in the 90s, how these cats was making money. They in the hood. They this and that.
Right.
But I'll guarantee you, Ice Cube, Ice-T, Ice Water, it don't make no difference, right?
Right?
Any of these new cats, they all got security around. You hard, what's up?
And they're educated.
And
a lot of them have degrees or have gone to college and dropped out. You guys don't know that.
They don't,
and a lot of them, including not the real Rick Ross, but that other Rick Ross.
Right.
And I happen to think he could be very talented at times.
Yeah.
But, bro, he was not living that life out there in the streets,
He was a guard at a prison.
He wasn't living that life out there, bro.
So stop.
Check his resume. Cut it out. Cut it out.
And what's the one dude?
Even T.I. T.I. has some education.
Yeah, not him.
These brothers ain't all, you know, they didn't all grow up of what they sing
about.
They got
their kids in the streets?
Come on now.
Right? No, they don't.
Jay-Z.
No.
A lot of these guys.
No. Okay?
Right.
Snoop, where your kids at?
Right.
We did some work for them, man. Them kids was like, see, it's just a whole my children gotta be cool thing. Not my children have to be a mathematician. Not my children have to be decent young men. Oh, nah, see, that's a swag, brother. You got that.
Y'all swagged out. Y'all swagged out, bro. Call me right now. I dare you. Y'all swagged out, bro. That ain't real. That's not the truth. That's not keeping it 1,000.
It's not.
Singing about your girl and they trying to set you up, bro. How you mad at them calling them out their name? How are you getting set up anyway? What are you doing for somebody to set you up, bro? So how are they setting you up? And young men are running around singing that, you know? And I had your wife. I did stuff with your wife that you would never do. That's something to brag about, bro. What if it was your mom or your sister or your daughter?
That's right.
I don't care. Well, if you don't care, we need to check your appetite.
Right. Well,
because your cravings are off.
I think that, you know, the violence has to come from somewhere.
Now, that's right.
Let me say this, that here is one of the saddest commentaries that I have ever heard, thought, and believed in my life. You have a young brother. He the hardest cat on the block. And he robbing an old woman in the hood. He kicking the dough in the hood. But he won't turn his music up loud in Bexley.
Come on now.
Now, Bexley got two police.
Two and a half police.
That's the radio room. And then the person that fixed the bikes. But you got 2,500 or so Columbus cops.
Right.
But you get to a small neighborhood, you hate yourself so much. I want y'all to hear me. You hate yourself so much that you drive through Bexley with dignity and respect.
Right.
Seriously. You turn the music down because you don't want to get pulled over. Because, man, Bexley police will really pull you over.
Or because this is Dublin or this is Livonia, Michigan, or whatever. What about where you live? Take some pride. Have some dignity about yourself.
They will throw trash out the window on Main Street, get past the bridge, and won't even spit out the window.
I think some of that is learned and conditioned behavior. Check your mindset.
It's self-hatred.
Get your mind right. And you might not even know it. So this is not us throwing bricks or boulders or stone at you. I'm just young people, parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, and cousins, and Ray right now. I'm just trying to get you to wake up and look around you, okay? Listen, if you keep on living, you're going to get older. We better figure out how we can impact or make an influence on these people out here in these streets in a more positive way. You might say, well, I don't want to do it. Like we talked about once, they treat young people like a bad cough. You know how every time you see somebody coughing real bad, everybody want to run or make them cover up or turn their head. And that's all fine and good because of airborne diseases. But people, young people, and some of these people are not a disease. They need some help or they're going to help themselves to your world.
Right.
And so we better figure it out. If you don't know what to do, send us your money. Give me your coffee money. I know what to do with it. I know how to. This is what I do, bruh. This is what I do.
Yes.
I'm trained for this. I believe God has called me for a part of this in my life. Aside, we know what to do. We got a team of people ready. Give us that Starbucks money, your Panera, your Speedway, BP money, or whatever. We'll figure it out. We will give you a receipt. We'll tell you. We got a lot of stuff that we are and that we want to do with young people and some of these people out here, these youth that feel like violence is the way. And even the adults. I mean, it's in the 30s. It's not just the young people doing all this shooting and stabbing, but it's ridiculous.
But see, they're the ones who teach the young.
Come on now.
Because the children, Jawaza Kunjufu said that children are actors and they act out what they see in adults.
Right.
And so these children are acting. They're on stage.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a clue. And these brothers out here wonder, why are my children getting killed?
Right.
Why? Because you was doing the same crap, bruh. You know? And so you wonder why your children are drunk, because you drunk. You wonder why they smoking, because you. I mean, this is typically, I'm not saying every home, but typically, if you want to see why a child is acting a certain way, look at their parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. Not that our children don't stray away, because we raise them right. A lot of children,
but they don't fall far from the tree.
Not far from the tree. No.
So they might fall from the tree, but not very far.
These kids fall out the tree, roll down the hill, in the river. You know what I'm saying? You know? Good. And so it's sad. It's sad. And you have to laugh because you would cry. You know, years ago, a friend of mine, young lady, beautiful, beautiful chocolate sister, beautiful. And back in the 80s, we didn't have like the braids like we see today. So it was her hair. And she braided her hair. She was just a beautiful girl.
Right.
And she wanted to hang out with, you know, with people and older crowds. And she's smoking and getting high and drinking with them. Well, long story short, I came back home from West Virginia. I was down there staying for about a year. And I came up looking for her and her grandmother was shocked. We got to say, hey, man, you know, how you doing, mama? And hugged her. And, you know, where my girl at? She's like, she looks at me real strange, like, baby, you don't know? I was like, no, ma'am. No, what?
Aww.
They found her with her throat slit.
It's awful.
Through her body in a dumpster.
That's awful.
Because she wanted to hang with people to be cool or just to kick it. You know, I'm all right. You know? And somebody, as bad as she was, I know if she wasn't giving it up, somebody was going to take it from her.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, we got to, we got to think before we leap a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But our children a lot of times are leaping, and they're leaping because we ain't paying no attention.
Come on
to
now.
Them.
I'm making a plea and a call out right now to these faith-based community, woo, to all these top organizational leaders and judges or whomever's out there listening to us. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing to help impact or change or positively influence the young people around you? Yeah. I'm calling you on the carpet, bruh. Yeah. I'm calling you. I don't want to hear nothing about your Bible scriptures. I don't want to hear nothing from the Quran. No
yes,
disrespect to any of it.
No, that's real.
To the Muslims, to the Christians, to the Buddhists, to any of you guys. What are you doing with your God-given natural gifts? What you can do, your resources to help our young people out here. Don't tell me what you stand for, how great you are, how many alphabets you have behind your name. It doesn't mean anything if all you're doing is talking. I don't want to hear it. Where your money at?
Right.
Where's your time at?
That's right.
Where's the priority? I'm telling you, you better look in the mirror. All you got to do is pull out some of your old photos. If you keep on living, you're going to change, baby.
Yes, yes.
And I'm telling you, you better do something. You better mm-hmm. contribute something or we're going to have a serious problem.
Oh, we are.
We got a caller?
What?
Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
All right. Welcome to Young People in Action. Who's on the line?
In the Violence, Sean Stevenson, that's who.
Mr. In the Violence. Mr. In
he
the
said,
Violence.
He said, that's who?
What's
that's
happening,
who?
Mr. Stevenson?
What's up, my brother?
How do we stop the violence, Mr. Stevenson?
Hey, we got to unite, come together, and let everybody know we're not standing for it.
That's good. What do you think about people who refuse to develop relationships with our young people because they don't want to touch them, they don't want to look at them, they're looking at them like a bad cough? What say ye?
Well, that's the cause of the violence.
That's the cause of the violence.
Wow.
That's good. That's good. So I asked a question earlier. I said, you know, people always want to quote scriptures. They want to tell me how much education all they got. But what are they doing? Mr. Stevenson, tell us what you're doing. How are you making an impact? How are you affecting our young people? What are you doing to help in our society? Because the shootings and stuff is off the chart. It's getting ridiculous. It's been ridiculous, but it's past ridiculous right now.
My thing is, I go into the community where they're at. I'm going to introduce myself to them. I'm going to let them know they can come and talk to me. Or better yet, I'm going to come talk to you.
That's good.
One way or another, we're going to get along. I'm going to make it where we have to unite and talk to each other. I've talked to different agencies, told them my ideas, my plans, ways we can prevent this. You know, but everybody is not accepted of the thoughts of an ex-convict or ex-felon. You know, and the people who work with me, I thank you all. And a lot of people say that I'm doing this and that, and they're not understanding why these kids like me and like listening to me and being around me. But I think I walk the walk. I talk it. I'm there with them. They know I'm there. I have their back, and they know they can talk to me and tell me anything, and it's not going to be repeated.
That's good. So you're saying relationship is a start.
Oh, yeah. You got to build a relationship, and they got to know they can trust you. And I ain't talking about no half-ass relationship. It has to be real and sincere.
That's right. That's right.
They can spot it a mile away if it's some bullshit.
That's right, brother. You know, it's funny you say that because, and I'll talk about it after the half hour, but we just had a meeting and we were talking about this initiative we're going to be working on, and they asked me, what do we do? And I said, let me say, the first thing we do is we have to build relationships. That's the first thing.
That's right.
And you know, it's real funny because they will throw money at all kinds of stuff. And they won't throw money at this type of program, you know,
mm-hmm.
How you can get into a young person's life and just build relationships,
how we can
incentivize people's lives. I mean, I'll give you a prime example. There's a lot of people out here, male and female, who are on, let's say, what they call the welfare system, welfare mm-hmm. program, right?
Right.
And on that program, they want folks to go out and learn.